our public forum. Do we have any speaker cards, Mr. Briggs? No speaker cards. We do. Okay. Mr. Van Lennep. Does anyone else in the audience wish to address the board on any matter not on the agenda? If you do, now's the time to do so, because we're not going to have any time later for this. Mr. Van Lennep is the only speaker. Oops. Go ahead.
It is morning still, so good morning, Chairman Young and members of the board. I wanted to take the time while you were in Salinas today to try and impress upon you the need for some changes in the current timber waiver process. Since 2003, when we were entered into this process with the board, one of the most crucial aspects of the entire process, whether individual or general, was the considerable amount of time that landowners, operators, and sawmills were required to wait for the approved documents. This has been a well-documented issue over the years and is attributed to several items, not the least of which is insufficient staff allocations. As an industry, both professionals and landowners, we all continue to struggle with the complex waiver process that is currently being implemented and the inherent delays incorporated therein. This process was originally intended to provide a systematic, transparent method for staff to efficiently process the waivers for timber operations. As currently applied, the system does not appear to be functional for the regulated community and is causing financially damaging delays to landowners, sawmills, and contractors. Upon inspection of other waiver programs administered in this region, I've noted that they have much more simplistic application procedures and no inherent delays for coverage for which they are applying. Our timber waiver is remarkably more complex and inefficiently applied to get essentially the same coverage. Just to give you an example of which you've heard many over the years, a waiver package we sent in for a timber harvest plan sat for 35 days after being received by staff before any tier ranking was done on that particular waiver. At that time, it was determined that it must go before the board as an individual waiver for a total application time or processing time of about 56 days. No problems or deficiencies existed in the application. It was merely staff was too busy compiling the annual report for the board in July and dealing with enforcement issues to process any of the waivers, ours included. We're not claiming inequitable treatment by staff, but just offering this as an example of the plight that we're in currently. We respectfully request that staff not already allocated to timber programs be directed to investigate some possible solutions to significant delays experienced in our timber waiver program, including but not limited to simplification of waiver application and review process, modifications of methodology staff currently employ to review those applications, allocation of additional staff time or staff members, changing of the date of the annual staff report to say something like January, it's not in the middle of our harvest season, and examining other regions and other programs for clues for simplification or streamlining of the current process. I'll wrap this up if you'll allow me.
Quickly.
The unwarranted delays that we're experiencing are crippling to us and to landowners and to us as an industry, and it's something that I feel is not beyond the reach of staff and the regulated industry to deal with and sort out, but it's a matter of the board having some will to apply some resources to that. This program was set up to try and simplify the number of waivers that are applied for in this region, and we would greatly appreciate your attention in some resolution on these issues. And I do have something in writing that I'd like to submit to you.
Okay. You know, Mr. Van Lennep, we did go over this, I think, in Watsonville.
We did.
And we talked about the lack of resources we really have available to us to put on this. And, I mean, I think the board recognizes it would be ideal if we had more staff time,
mm-hmm.
and we don't. Mr. Michael? Yeah.
In some cases, when we have this situation where we don't have, well, in this case, it's not that we don't have the expertise, but we just don't have the manpower to do it. But in other cases where we don't have the expertise, industry will sometimes provide resources for us to get that expertise. And I was wondering if that's something you've considered, setting up an escrow account or something like that, where we could get additional help to review these.
It's not something we've considered. We, as resource professionals, are always available to staff to augment any information that they need and certainly try to get that to them in a timely manner. The application process that we have is fairly complex, and it jumps off of the CEQA equivalent timber harvest plan review process. So the CEQA review is essentially done when staff processes and hopefully then approves the waiver through the EO. But we are always available to help staff, and we try to expedite that through a complete waiver applications.
Right. I'm thinking more along the lines of if there were funds set aside, say, put into an escrow account, we would then use those funds to contract or hire outside people to do the review, and they would be independent from industry and independent from any other group. They would work specifically for us and take direction from us only.
We haven't considered that at this point. certainly be open to a breadth of options to try and expedite our situation. But I have, in writing, outlined some options that might not necessarily require additional staff time or additional staff resources, but merely refine the process that's currently in place to better utilize the staff time that currently exists.
Okay. You have that in writing?
I do.
Why don't you just go ahead and give it to staff, and then staff can kind of go through that and then report back to the board.
Can I just make a quick statement?
Yes.
Yeah, a couple things. On the staff issue, you really need to be, we don't have the ability to move people around. When people are, when we're given PYs, we're given PYs in specific areas. So the governor's administration tells us how many people we can put on forestry. So the industry needs to be putting pressure on the governor's office to give us more PYs to work on your issue. We can't move people around. The other thing is, from the get-go, and I'm going to compare the forestry waiver with ag waiver. From the get-go, the forestry industry fought the whole process and was not cooperative. The ag industry got on board and helped us develop the waiver. So we were in a situation with a forestry waiver to sort of do it in-house without the benefit of your guys' expertise and cooperation like we had with the ag waiver. So if you guys have wound up with a waiver that's not working, you need to take a little bit of responsibility for that and maybe take a page out of the ag industry's book on how to make regulations work for yourself by working with the regulators and not fighting them. And that's all I'm going to say on that.
Could I respond?
Yes, sure.
We were in full agreement with the original staff proposal in which to handle our forestry operations. We are fully supportive of that. And it was only after the waiver process started to be driven by outside political forces and threats of litigation that we began to be very concerned about how the board was going to regulate our activities. I will take ownership that we certainly did not have the regulatory expertise or possibly the financial resources that agriculture had, and I, in review of the ag waiver, I very much wish we had have thought of some of the things that they have incorporated in their waiver. That being said, I mean, we are from the ground level and entering into this process a much more highly regulated industry with numerous professionals every step of the way and a separate regulating body, whereas ag, to my understanding, had no previous direct supervision, and the waiver process was somewhat different and groundbreaking for them. And I'd be happy to take on some of the cues that are in the waiver program currently regulating ag, if that would be helpful.
Well, I think what you're doing right now is great. We need to know where it's not working for you, but, you know, We could have ironed this out earlier if it had been under different circumstances. That's all I'm saying.
I
appreciate your letting us know what doesn't work. We can't add more staff time. We just don't have that ability.
Understood. It's something that we've identified as a possible solution, whether you directly as the board have the power to move people around or not. We understand that you do not, but we would like to make that plea anyhow, and if we need to go to the governor's office to do that, then...
That's where you need to go.
Okay. I'd be happy to answer any more questions.
Okay. Dr. Hunter?
I do have one question. I'm trying to understand if the current situation, the backload, is that a feature of the transition into the new timber waiver program, or is this a seasonal problem that we're going to see continuing from year to year? In other words, the level of activity is just not associated with the fact this is a new process that people are getting engaged in.
I believe that's the case. We have a very limited time in which we can conduct our operations on the ground, essentially from mid-April till mid-October, with some occasional time on either end of that pending dry weather conditions. When we have a delay of 50 or 60 working days, you know, beginning sometime before that season and carrying on through, it greatly reduces our ability to take advantage of that very limited time that we have. And sometimes what seemingly is a small delay at one end of the process will kick you a whole 6 or 7 months into the next year because you run right up against wet weather and we're not allowed to operate under those conditions.
Yeah, I think we do understand what the ramifications are, but I'm just trying to understand if this is a temporary situation or if this is long term. Because, again, if it is a long term situation in terms of the way in which the program is structured currently and the need to support with additional staff, then really the only option you have is to start lobbying at the governor's office to take a look at the program and provide some assistance so that we have the staffing available in order to meet the need. If it's temporary, that would be a different situation, but it sounds like it's not. This is the way the program is functioning and will continue to function until we see more support.
I would agree that I believe it's more of a long-term problem situation, and that save maybe some of the things that we could identify to possibly streamline the current process. I don't see any immediate resolution, and I don't see a great increase or reduction in the number of harvest plans and waivers that will be applied for in the region. It's been fairly constant over time.
Well, I think one immediate solution is what Mr. Thomas suggested, which is to look to the industry to see if funds could be developed to provide for contracted services to augment the internal staff capacity. And you might see some relief occurring in that fashion, and would also demonstrate to the governor's office the severity of the issue, that you're able to provide a short-term remedy, but that you need some long-term assistance and attention to that.
Okay, Mr. Briggs.
Yeah,
I wanted to add one thing first about the escrow account issue, unless you wanted to.
I wasn't going to address that.
Okay. There was another region that had a similar program with a backlog, and they tried to do something similar, have the industry dischargers pay for additional staff time to do the reviews. And it was determined to, I believe it violated the contracting out prohibitions, and it was illegal, basically.
Yeah, I know that Fish and Game does it, Caltrans does it. So other state agencies have opted to relieve certain backloads in that fashion.
I don't know the conditions under which those agencies did it. I just know that when it's happened at a regional board, it's been a problem.
Go ahead. Mr. Chairman, as you pointed out, we had some discussion on the issue of staffing and timing and everything. Julia Dyer had graphs and showed the processing and how her priorities shift as she went along. Since then, actually, one of the things that happened is, and it is kind of unique this year, in that we've been going along with the waivers, as we discussed in July, and they've all fallen into Tier 1, 2, or 3. This year, for the first time, We received three waivers that were evaluated actually subsequent to the July meeting that fell into Tier 4, the more severe category, which means they have to come to the board. And that hasn't happened before. So that was kind of unique. That added, because of the board lead time, that added substantially to the total review time. So that was different. One of the things that came of that is that I asked the staff to have a student at least run the timber harvest plan through the matrix to determine the tier as soon as we get it, so that if there is that going to be that lead time that's required, we'd know early, first thing in the process. That doesn't help the three applications that are pending. We do have two of those scheduled for the September board meeting, and the third one was actually incomplete, so requires more information. Let's see. One of the things that would help that the industry could do, and I also mentioned this to Julia, is, and maybe you do this already and you just don't include it in your what you submit, but for you to run your plans through the matrix yourself and flag it. And if again, if we had known when we first received the application that it was going to fall into Tier 4, it would have helped. So we're going to be doing that with a student, but I still think it would probably be wise for the industry to run it through the matrix. It'd also be probably a good assurance that on your part that we're doing it correctly. So it would be a good double check.
We will start doing that. Some applicants have done that programmatically just so they would know ahead of time.
Right.
But in speaking with Julia, she was so busy with preparing the report and enforcement action, at least that she explained to us, that it wouldn't have mattered even if she'd understood that it was a Tier 4, that she couldn't have gotten it scheduled any sooner because she was so busy. Her time was so eclipsed that she would not have been able to make it happen any sooner than it happened in any event.
Okay.
And those are the things that are my concerns. She's just got so much stuff that one little thing just puts her off and puts us off as well. And it's just something that's a problem for us since we do have a small operating window.
I think another possibility, I'm not sure what the timing is for the waiver to come back to the board, probably within 2 years or something like that. But we'll have a track record, and the board can certainly change that current situation as far as Tier 4 is coming to the board. They could be added in to the administrative waiver.
Yes.
If the industry does intend to move or at least make some effort to communicate the situation to the governor's office, do we want to send also some communication acknowledging that we've heard from the industry and that we have these limitations and constraints, so that we acknowledge, we understand what the situation is and we're constrained in terms of what we can
typically
do?
Typically what happens is the governor's office will send us a copy of the letter if it's like a complaint and ask for our input or reaction to it. Is that
right? And also as far as budget requests, those are internal. The administration is responsible for making their budget proposal, and the budget discussions have to be internal.
So, okay. What I would like is whatever suggestions Mr. Van Lennep is providing to staff, that maybe just get analyzed, and if it could come back in the next EO's report.
Right. We'll
which
have
is an attachment so we can see what he submitted and what staff thinks it can do to accommodate those suggestions. That would be helpful. So we can keep on top of that. Thank you for your comments.
I appreciate the time and the dialogue that you've allowed me. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. We're done with public comment, unless there's anyone else in the audience that wishes to address the board at this time. Seeing none, we will close public comment, and we break for lunch, and then when we come back at what time, Mr. Briggs?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, we will resume with agenda item number 5. Thank you.